FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. Coming up on this week's show later, we're going to be catching up with Cameron Hussein, women's team manager, all about their opening league match of the season away at Crewe Alexandra from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's to Tuesday night's FA Cup tie against Alfreton Town. We've got a little preview for Tuesday evening's game now. Shortly, we'll be hearing from Neil Reynolds, FC United manager. But before we talk about on the field, we do have to talk about off the field. And there's some new matchday arrangements in place for this home tie against Alfreton Town tomorrow evening. And for more on this, on Monday afternoon, I caught up with FC United board member. It's a welcome back to the show to Adrian Seddon. Well, Adrian, a big thank you for joining us. And we're recording this on Monday afternoon. We've heard the government announcement now. So from what we've heard this afternoon, game on tomorrow against Alfreton.
Yes, so we think that based on what we've heard today, it's as you were really for us that we will be allowed to play. We'll be allowed to play with crowds. Obviously, this situation is changing week by week, and we don't know, you know, whether we'll be able to continue playing with crowds for the whole season for much longer. We don't know. I think it's a case of let's enjoy every game as it comes at the moment, and each game is one more ticked off, and we'll see what happens each week. But for now, yeah, we're planning to go ahead with crowds tomorrow.
And with regards to, you know, the fact we spoke to you in pre-season about how, you know, the work that's gone in to get us to 600, that maximum attendance, unfortunately, at the moment. But more rules come on board all the time. And the club's mentioned how important it is that we adhere to those rules, especially for tomorrow's match.
Yeah, so, I mean, the big changes now that you'll find is, so we had the big change with the numbers allowed, which was 600. Now there's new rules that have come in for the leisure industry, for hospitality, about serving alcohol in licensed premises. So, I mean, the headline is you have to order food and drink, well, mainly drink. You have to order at your seat and then you have to drink it at your seat. Now, that's obviously caused a big problem for us because the vast majority of people at our ground will buy a beer and take it out into the terraces and drink it there. That's part of going to football, isn't it? That's what we enjoy at our level being able to do. Can't do that anymore. It's as simple as that. You do have to drink your drink where you've ordered it and at the table. So that caused a huge problem for us because, you know, we've got very limited space actually in the main function room and in the SMRE. What we had been doing is just using the SMRE bar for the start of the season, and most people were doing takeout into the stands. We've had a think about it. We've changed that now, so there will be the function room will be open for supporters again. But I think the important thing is to understand the new rules, and the function room will be pre-booked only. So if you want to sit and drink in the function room, it will be table service only, and you will have to drink that drink at the table. So no taking it away with you. If you want to drink on Tuesday in the function room, you need Tuesday morning to phone the club up and reserve a spot. Now, there's tables that can fit four and there's tables that can fit two in that function room. But under the new regulations, you have to drink within your social bubble. So if you're a family of four, sit at a table of four. If you're four lads that are mates, you can't do that, I'm afraid. You've got to sit, you know, just one of you to a table, unless you're, you know, flatmates or living together. So we've got to adhere to the new regulations. So function room, pre-booked only. You will not be able to turn up on the day and go in the function room. Table service only. That includes during the game. You know, you can sit and drink there during the game, but you're not going to be able to stand up and move the windows to watch the football, okay? The SMRE, again, table service only, but that will be first come, first served on the night, so no need to book that in advance. But again, you'll have to sit and drink your beer at the table where you've ordered it. No taking beers out. Now, we appreciate that people do want to watch the football while having a beer, so the only option really we had available, and we're very grateful to Manchester City Council that we've discussed this at length with them and we've got this approved, is that we're going to open up the North Stand. So that's the stand where the TV gantry is, which we know there's been a little section open. We're going to open a bigger section of that and we're going to put some tables and chairs down there. Now, that will be first come, first served. It'll be stewards will give hands. When it's full, there'll be nobody else allowed in. But if you turn up early enough, you can sit at the table. It will be waiter service again, so it will be bottles of beer, but we're not allowed to serve in bottles, so your bottles will be decanted into plastic cups, and you'll be able to sit and watch the game. Again, very, very important for the people who want to do that is that you don't get your beer and then move towards the barriers and try standing up watching the game, because that is not allowed. You have to sit at your table to drink it. Now, you know, we are going to be monitored, there's no doubt about it, and if people disobey the rules, then we'll have an alcohol ban. That's the next step. There's no doubt about that. So if you want to keep drinking alcohol at the ground, we've done all we can to try and make that within the confines of what is allowed. If people behave themselves, if people drink at the places they're allowed to drink, then we're hoping that we'll be able to keep that going longer term. But if, you know, the council come up and monitor us and see that people are ordering at a table and trying to take the drinks out to the barriers or taking the drinks out of the SMRE, then that will stop and there'll be no more alcohol.
So the onus is literally on everyone, every supporter tomorrow to adhere to the rules, because we've seen it other clubs. There has been repercussions for other clubs.
Yeah, we've seen clubs that have had their capacity cuts as well. And it's not just about, you know, whether or not you'll be able to drink a beer. If the authorities decide it's not working, then we'll have our capacity cut. And we've seen Lancaster, for instance, are down to 200, and that was because of lack of social distancing when the authorities came and looked at their ground. There's a lot of reluctance at the moment around football, and it's very difficult to get concessions. It's very easy to get them taken away.
Mm. And with regards to, I mentioned the 600 cap. Last week, the club wrote a joint letter to government with South Shields and Scarborough, highlighting the fact that not to forget us, basically, because, you know, we are down on our attendance week in, week out, which is a problem.
Yeah, so I think the problem you've got is there's a perception in football that you had two different groupings. You had the elite, which for non-league is the National League and the National League North and South, and then everybody else was grassroots. Obviously, the elite, there was clearly a problem because it's been decided they're going to have to play closed doors. The clubs, quite rightly, and I don't disagree with this, put their case to government that they weren't sustainable playing closed doors football without any funding. And the government has come up with a 10 million package for the first 3 months, which will be reviewed at the end of 3 months. Interestingly, even though it was announced a week ago, the club still haven't been told how that's going to be divided up. Theoretically, if it was split evenly across I think it's 67 clubs in it, the three divisions, then that would be £150,000 per club for 3 months, so 50 grand a month, which is a lot of money. But they're suggesting it's probably more likely to be linked to attendances lost. So some clubs like, for instance, Notts County would probably get a huge amount more than clubs like Curzon. But there's a lot of discussions going on about how it's going to be divvied up. But, you know, the argument was they needed, and the sports minister Huddleston stood up in the House of Commons and said that it was linked to lost gate receipts and the fact that clubs couldn't survive without those gate receipts. Now, there's a perception that everyone at grassroots is fine because supporters are allowed in. At our level, we've got 600 allowed in. It goes down to 300, depending on what level you're in. And the vast majority of clubs, that's more than they were getting in normal times through the gates. So in our league, there's only four clubs in our league that averaged more than 600 last year, one of which was Morpeth, which was only just over, I think it was 640. So, you know, they're only 40 down on their average attendance last year. So for most clubs at our level, I think in the Southern and Ishmian leagues, I think between those two leagues, there was only one club that was affected by, that was seriously affected, that got crowded about 1,000 per game. So no one really is affected. You've only got a very small number of clubs. But for Scarborough, they're 400 below what they got last year. And obviously South Shields and ourselves are over 1,000 below what we were at last year. So what we've said to the government is it seriously affects us, because every single game we've got 1,000 fans locked out, just over 1,068 based on last year's average, locked out, game in, game out, and we're losing that revenue, game in, game out, week in, week out. Now, if you look at the three divisions of the National League, we're actually got more fans locked out, so we're losing more in gate revenue than 30 of those clubs got as their total average gate last year. So we've got more fans lost to us than they were getting in their entire ground last year. And yet they're subsidising, we're not. So we've said, you know, there's throughout this process, you know, we've kept saying one size doesn't fit all, you know, don't have that approach. That was, we were saying that about, you know, the 30% capacity that should have been on stadium capacity, not on a one size fits all approach like they've come up with. Same with subsidies. You know, yes, the vast majority of grassroots football, the new restrictions work for them, but there are a handful of clubs where it doesn't work, and not just doesn't work, it's pretty disastrous. You know, to lose over 1,000 spectators is huge for us. And the problem you've got is, you know, the clubs that are losing out, like ourselves, I mean, we've got a business model which is basically about fan engagement. You know, high fan engagement. We're owned by the fans. We rely on large numbers through the gates, those numbers buying beers, buying pints, buying chips, buying merchandise programmes. And before COVID, everyone was saying, well, that's the way to go. You know, don't have one rich owner who pumps a load of money into the club, because his company might fail or he might lose interest and suddenly you've got an unsustainable club. Rely on high spectator engagement. That way you can never go wrong. And we found ourselves with COVID, and what was a strength for our club has now become a weakness, because we can't get those fans into the game. We can't get them engaged, and no one's offering any alternative to us.
And it's been, I think, over a week now since that letter went in. So have we had any response?
No, not had any formal response. I know that obviously Mark Harris, the league chairman, has been very supportive of our stance. I mean, we've discussed it with him. He's circulated it around the FA. We do feel that there is a perception that everyone's all right, and it's important to show that everyone isn't all right. I think it has triggered a few other clubs to write. So I believe that, you know, not every club is got a problem with gate receipts. Other clubs, it's the social club, for instance. Mm. So a lot of the Tameside clubs have got together to write to Angela Rayner, their MP, because those sort of clubs like Ashton, like Hyde and clubs like that, they make a lot of money out of their clubhouse, and that's been seriously impacted for them. That's as big a problem as the gate attendances for us. So they, on the back of what we've done, they've written to their MP. I know I spoke to Berry, who are writing to their MP, and I think there's a lot. Clubs are starting to mobilise. I mean, we had a matter of a couple of days to sort our letter out. We would be speaking to the league, asking if there was any money coming our way. The league said that they'd made requests for it, but they didn't think there were. And then when the announcement came about the National League, Mark Harris told us that there was currently no plans to offer us any money. So it was important for us to get our message out before the National League started their season, because that's when it was in the news. So we had 2 days between coming up with the idea and getting the letter out there. Now, obviously, ourselves, Scarborough and South Shields are very different clubs, but you know, very different clubs with the same problem, you know, and you know, that we're having to lock out so many supporters. And we've seen the National League compensated for that, but not us.
We should mention as well the local MP and that side of things. Are we getting, you mentioned Angela Rayner there in Tameside, are we got similar in the Central Manchester area?
Yeah, so you may have noticed that the letter was signed by the Scarborough and the South Shields MP, but wasn't signed by our MP, Lucy Powell. Reason behind that is quite simple. She's in the shadow cabinet, and whether you're in the cabinet or the shadow cabinet, you're not allowed to put your name to signature to appeals like this. It's against parliamentary rules. But we had a good discussion with her party, and we were able to include in the letter that she was supportive and that she's raising it on the side. So she is supportive, just like the other MPs are. She's just not physically allowed to sign a letter like that. But we did have it in the main bulk of the letter, and she has been bringing it up in Parliament. We've also got the support of the Football Supporters Association, Malcolm Clark, who's head of that, put his name to that as well. And they're working behind the scenes as well. So we've got good support. We've got support from Manchester City Council. We've been keeping them updated, and from the local ward members I talk regularly to Paula Appleby, who's our local councillor, and she's extremely supportive as well.
Fingers crossed there we get some movement from that letter and some kind of response soon. But I was going to say, we're going to be hearing from Neil Reynolds in a second, talking about the actual football. TV coverage available for those people in the UK. And just one last message about fans adhering to the, all the rules tomorrow. It's very, very important, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's down to you. Do you want to have a beer at football? If the answer is yes, then please stick to the rules. It's not ideal, is it, to have to sit in that north stand? It's going to be a bit cold in there tomorrow. And not just sit in that north stand, but sit at the table and not head towards the barriers. I want to have a beer in the SMRE Terrace, just like everybody else. But if people do it, then alcohol will be stopped.
So you, agent, but I think it's quite a novelty. It feels like a football match taking place in some square in Venice or something. It seems quite nice.
I think if it was at on a Saturday in August with lovely weather, I think it'd be absolutely brilliant. But on a cold day in October, I'm not so sure it'll be brilliant. But you know, it is what it is. We've done what we can to keep alcohol flowing at the ground. We, you know, as a club, we need the revenue. Let's be clear here. But we also want to offer the best match day experience we can. And we said at the start of the season that the match day experience this year would be different. You know, we'd make it as good as we can, but it would have to be different. This is certainly different, but you know, if supporters play ball and respect the new rules, which are not our rules, they're government rules that we've had to impose, then you know, we can keep it going and you can still have a beer at football, and that's what we want. Have a beer, enjoy the game, and hopefully cheer us on to victory. We've got the stream tomorrow, so again, it's one of those things where very disappointed we can't welcome any Alfreton fans tomorrow. We've always had a good time going to Alfreton and then coming to us, and you know, I don't think anyone understands, you know, how the disease, this COVID disease, can tell the difference between an elite fan and a non-elite fan. But there you go. Those are the rules. So Alfreton fans, unfortunately, you can't come into the game. But, you know, we've priced the stream at what we think is a very affordable £5. So, you know, a whole £14.99 for a Premier League game, or £5 for us. You know, it's great value. And if you can't come into the game tomorrow, please do look at the stream. There's a web article, if you look on our website, that gives you the link. It'll also be on all our Twitter pages. You can pay for it any time you want from now, your fiver, and then it'll go live 15 minutes before kickoff tomorrow. It's for us, it becomes an important revenue stream, because you know, we can only have 600 in the ground. We got £900 out of the Curzon Ashton game, the money split between the two clubs. So we took £100 in expenses. We took £900. Curzon took £800. These are important revenue streams for clubs. You know, if you're an Alfreton fan, you'll be raising money for your club whilst watching your team play. If you're an FC fan, then obviously you're raising money for FC, and hopefully being able to enjoy the game from the you know, you'll be able to have a beer in the warmth of your sofa rather than huddled in the cold in the north stand. So maybe it'll be good. But enjoy the game, and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a big game for us. We're playing a team that's obviously a division above us. But really, you know, these are the sort of games, if we want to have ambitions towards, you know, going back up to the National North, these are the sort of games we should be looking forward to. Playing on our own patch, a team from the league above. They haven't played many games so far this season, so they'll hopefully be a little bit rusty. And we've got to play these games with confidence.
FC United board member Adrian Seddon there, speaking to me on Monday afternoon. That's off the pitch. Let's talk about on the pitch now. And joining me down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by the welcome return of FC United first team manager. It's Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And a weekend off. How was it for you?
Boring, to be honest, Ben. We love our football. But we trained Saturday morning. We've had a good week of training. The staff took various games in on Saturday afternoon, and it gives us a bit of an advantage looking at different oppositions to see how they play. But there's nothing like playing football, and you know, we're going into tomorrow night's game 10 days since our last game, so probably a bit of an unfair disadvantage.
Is there kind of an advantage though in the fact that it's from one FA Cup tie to the next, with no league to worry about in between? Is that helpful in a kind of way?
No, I think so. I mean, obviously the league's our bread and butter, and everyone will say the same thing. We want to get off to a winning start in the league, and we were hoping that was going to happen at Morpeth, but it's not to be. It would have been nice to see the kind of confidence taken from the Curzon game going into a league fixture. But, you know, that's not to be, and it's part and parcel of the world we're in now. So we've just got to, you know, dust ourselves down. And like we said, we'll train Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and we're going to get ready for Alverton tomorrow night.
So what do we know about Alverton? I feel like I should just repeat the Curzon interview from a couple of weeks ago. They've not played many games, have they? Go on.
Yeah, we know a lot about them, Ben. We've watched them 3 times now. So we know a great deal about them. We know that aerially they're going to be very strong. They've got a few 6 foot plus players in the side. They've got a big 6'5" lad who's a threat on set piece in both boxes. I respect Billy Heath as a manager. I know the way he sets his teams out. It'll be different to how we play, but I'm under no illusion it'll be, kind of be successful for them. We've got to combat their strengths, and we've got to try and get on top of them from the first minute. But it's a massive game for us. If someone would have said to me a few weeks ago, you'd be going in 5 games unbeaten and 1 game away from the 4th qualifying round of the FA Cup. I would have snapped your hand off, and that's where we are. But we've got a massively tough task. But I believe in my squad. If we turn up tomorrow night and play the way we can play and maybe get a little bit of luck on the night, then who knows? We could be into that 4th qualifying round and 1 game away from the FA Cup first round proper.
And I can't be alone in thinking this. The FA Cup is kind of it's motoring along, isn't it? As a competition, it's only been a couple of weeks since the season kicked off, and we're like you say, we're nearly at the 4th qualifying round.
We had a banana skin with Pontefract, and we overcame that. Then we got a really tough local tie with Curzon, and we overcame that. And now it's Alverton at home, and we wanted a home tie. We've got our wish, so it's, I'm not saying it's in our hands, but it's where we want it to be. The lads have trained really hard for 3 sessions. It's a bit of a mini pre-season, but we've worked a lot on our shape, set pieces, and the way Alverton play. So we'll be ready tomorrow night. But if I say to you that the amount of times that I drag my lads down the tunnel and I get them to look right at the Rochdale fixture from 2010, and I get to see a picture of Michael Norton, and I get to see the Rochdale away end, and I say, surely you want to be part of that, And then we look right and we see the likes of Dave Chadwick lifting trophies. And I said, you want to be part of this history at FC United, and don't just be a player that kind of comes through the door, plays 40 or 50 games, and away you go. I said, we've got an opportunity now to create something special. And I believe this squad will create something special. So, if we can manage to win tomorrow night's game, who knows, get a plum tie in the 4th qualifying round, get to the first round of the FA Cup and kind of repeat or emulate what happened in 10 years ago. That's my target. As a manager, I'm desperate to do well in the FA Cup. I'm desperate to do well in all trophies, but we've got a real opportunity now, and we cannot let this opportunity pass us by. And I'm sure that come 7:45 tomorrow night, the lads will be, they'll be fired up, they'll be ready, and they'll go and give a real good account of themselves.
And final question, really, Neil, as well. I would ask you about the fitness of the squad, but this interview goes out before kickoff, so I believe he could do his own homework. But when it comes to message to the fans and that kind of thing, they've been brilliant, haven't they, in these home games under lockdown. There's a new section of North Standers tomorrow as well, drinking just pitch side, which I think sounds lovely, in all honesty. So no clearances that way, if that's okay, because you'll spill some drinks.
The fans have been incredible, Ben, and I'll be reaching out for the 12th man tomorrow night. We love playing at Broadhurst Park, we love playing away, but it's been different, but listening to 600 fans make the noise of 2,000 fans, it's been pretty special. And I'm sure that everyone who turns up tomorrow night will be a really good voice. And we need everyone. We need everyone to believe in us. And I'm sure they will do. But, the lads are in really, really good spirits. It's going to be the same squad that travel to Curzon. Obviously, Luke Griffiths is still suspended. We've got no injury concerns tomorrow night. So, we may tweak the starting 11. We may not do. But one thing's for certain, whichever 16 or 17 or 18 take to the field tomorrow night, they'll be doing everything we can do to get ourselves into the 4th qualifying round of the FA Cup. And, I genuinely believe that if we turn up, we've got a really, really good chance of doing that.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there speaking to us here on This Club Is My Club on Monday evening. So next up for FC United hosting Alverton Town in the 3rd qualifying round of the FA Cup. And to get you all a little bit more excited about tomorrow evening's game, let's have a little walk through the previous rounds from our FC Live team, kicking things off back in the 1st qualifying round a couple of weeks ago when FC United hosted Pontefract Collieries.
And Dodd ploughing down that left-hand side. Coquelin battling for it, and a good run on the left-hand side. Dodd as well brings it into the box from the left. He's got options here. And it's a 1-0. And it's Ennis. Well, the goal machine. He came on Saturday and scored. And it was a lovely move down the left-hand side there. Dodd broke down the left there, took the return ball, played it infield, and there's space there for FC's number seven, Charlie Ennis, and a perfect finish. Lavercombe brings it forward to Stead. Stead plays it forward on the turn. Is Linney takes it over halfway, brings it infield to Donoghue. Donoghue, there's a... Well, Ennis dummies it. And Donoghue, the ball ends up now with Coquelin. Coquelin slips it there for Donoghue. Donoghue across, Linney! 2-0! Well worked by FC United. Patient passing there. And then lovely cross and a great finish. Linney. That's Willem Morris. Morris. Griffiths. Linney. FC with time to play here. Finding the spaces as Linney's got Dodd out there. It's a decent looking ball. Dodd, can he get
it?
Coquelin's in there. It's 3-0. And FC United running amok here. We've played. Just over a quarter of an hour, and FC United into a three-goal lead. Good patient football in the midfield there. Ball played out to the left, cross in there, scores his debut goal for FC United, and the home side into a three-goal lead. Coquelin the scorer, and Linney on the turn. Over halfway, Linney, and breaks for him out to the left-hand side to the inevitable Dodd. Linney chases it to the byline, and quite a heavy challenge there, Wormsley. And it's a penalty. Well, that was a...
It was the challenge started inside the area, I believe.
But also, it's a very unnecessary challenge for a defender when an attacker's going wide.
Yeah.
To be fair, you could see that challenge was about to happen a mile off, couldn't you? Yeah. And so could Linney.
Yeah, maybe hints of frustration involved in that one.
And Charlie Ennis, well, he's got... a goal in each game so far, and now he's got a chance to double his tally for tonight. And FC with a chance to go 4-0 ahead now. Challenge for Emery. Ennis, no mistake. Really is an expert with a dead ball, and with just over half an hour gone, it's Charlie Ennis with his second of the game, his third of the season from the spot this time. And FC United starting to move out of sight now. FC 4, Pontefract Collieries 0. 33 minutes gone, FC United 4, Pontefract Collieries 0. Jack Lanahan, good account of himself on Saturday, right back as he has done during pre-season, and gets an early call tonight. Now it's Morris. Ennis spreads this out, Lanahan takes it nicely. Ball infield to Linney. Griffiths always looks, he has time on the ball, Griffiths. But Ennis can't quite control that one, but it will come back for Griffiths. And the ball out on the right-hand side now to Lenehan. At 30 yards out, right-hand side. On the turn is Linney, edge of the box. Linney, nice-looking ball. Oh, and Ennis hits the post. Within a whisker of a hat-trick, but it comes out now to Griffiths, who thinks about a shot. But now it's with Donoghue. Donoghue takes it towards the box. Linney tries to get it back to Donoghue. Goes for Donoghue, left-footed. It's 5-0. FC United tearing Pontefract apart here. Couldn't deal with it there, Pontefract. A couple of misplaced clearances picked up there. And Donoghue got the ball from Linney there on the turn there with his left foot. Great finish there, well placed. No chance for Emery. FC United with a quintet. And there's still 10 minutes to go to half-time. Nathan Modeste is the man with the ball at his feet, waiting to restart this contest. The referee just has a quick look around. And
looks like a change in formation. It looks like a 3-3-4-ish. Now that Pontefract are going to start this second half, with obviously more positive, push more players forward, and we're off.
And Clare, under a little bit of pressure, puts it to the right-hand side. And Nebbard, long ball forward, and Modest there gets on the end of this one, and that's a good looking finish. What a response from Pontefract Collieries. Down the field it came from Nebbard, and a great chase from Nathan Modest, and he chipped Dan Lavercombe, And I don't think that that will delight Neil Reynolds that FC were caught cold at the back there. But great finish from Modest.
Yeah, mucked a bit for that one. But as you say, a lovely little lifted ball over Lavercombe. And it's FC United 5, Pontefract Collieries 1.
13 seconds of the second half and Pontefract get one back. Well, that will be a delight to Andy Monkhouse, the coach. And FC just going a little... well, they were almost caught cold in the opening seconds of the first half. And this time they have been caught cold. Ball is played back. And Emery has to get rid of it very hurriedly, and then that's just Wormsley. Good pressing from FC, but they'll bring it away. And the ball under pressure is Tingle. And now it's Wormsley on his own 18-yard line. Spreads it out left-hand side. Ben Gordon to take it over halfway, left-hand side. Modest wants it, but it's played out to the left-hand side. Gordon will run on. It's good covering from Potts, but Gordon has it. Infield, edge of the box, a shot. Oh, what a goal!
Screamer.
It's 5-2.
It's a few yards outside the left-hand side of the penalty area.
All the credit in the world to Pontefract. It's Dan Keane. The ball was played on the left-hand side. Good work from Gordon there. Played it infield. And Dan Keane with an absolute, a scorcher there. And it's 5-2. Well, it's got interesting. And... Bailey in the way there with a half clearance. Donoghue again picking up that second ball, and Linney with quite a heavy challenge, and it will, oh, in fact it goes the other way, and it will be a free kick, and this could be another opportunity for Ennis, a little bit further out this time, but Ennis in fact not going forward to take this one, which suggests that Griffiths, well, he may try one, but he tries a quick one, and Morris has gone across, and it's a wonderful piece of opportunity. And I have to say, as a man who often bemoans quick free kicks there, quickly taken there. Great cross from Luke Griffiths. And Aaron Morris comes in with a great run to finish it on the volley with his left foot, 6-2 FC.
He ran a long way for that ball, did Aaron Morris. I was watching him. He came right from the halfway line for it.
I think taking the free kick that quickly didn't give the chance for anyone to give anyone offside.
FC United winners there over Pontefract Colliers in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. What about the second qualifying round? That happened last Saturday away at Curzon Ashton of the National League North.
Well, it's a free kick to FC United. Lavercombe to take. Launches it into Curzon Ashton's half. Strong header there by Evans. Back into midfield. Curran. Potts. Potts with a quick transition, as it's known in the trade, out towards this right-hand side, and it's a throw into FC. Penfold takes it quickly. Ennis gives it in back. Fowler there helps it on its way to Ennis. That's great stuff from FC United. Oh, and that's a wonderful goal. A wonderful goal from Regan Linney. The build-up play on this right-hand side was absolutely superb. Regan Linney was just the full stop on that. The build-up there from Penfold, from Ennis, from Fowler. It was great stuff, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, it was a brilliant combination of passes that just left Curzon for dead there. And Linney's on fire at the moment. That's I think it's four for the season.
FC United 1-0 up here, 13 minutes played, and Morris with this throw-in. Midway inside Curzon's half. Donoghue gives it back to Morris, back to Donoghue. Flicked on there by Morris. Fowler there with a little push in the back, and it's going to be a free kick to Curzon. Turnbull was looking to take quickly, but instead Roberts is going to take it, the goalkeeper.
It's certainly a very different Curzon side to the last time we were here 18 months ago, around about.
Yes, well, Whittam out to the right-hand side, and here's Mann coming forward now for the home side. Mann infield, Potts looking to put a challenge in, but Mann keeps the ball. He's doing well, the Irishman. Plays the ball forward. It's great control that by the fullback, and that's a great goal by Matthew Waters. And to be fair, Keg, Mann came a long way across the pitch there, and the challenges weren't coming in. It was a great ball to find Matthew Waters in the first place. 14 minutes on the clock, and it's an equaliser from Curzon.
Well, what did we say, really? That FC United need to keep switched on and not let Curzon back into the game in the 5 minutes after we score. And we did exactly that. We kind of predicted it.
Well, we're into the last 20 minutes, and a free kick is about to ensue here. It's going to be Charlie Ennis to take this free kick. It's more or less a corner. It's about 5 yards from the corner flag. 4 yards or so in from the byline over on this left-hand side.
everyone out on the far post area from a red shirt perspective.
If a player is booked, the player doesn't have to go off.
No,
does
he doesn't. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Ennis to the near post. Oh, it's an own goal. I think it's an own goal on the near post. It was flicked on by defender over goalkeeper Roberts into the far post. And that is a goal. I think we have to give it to Charlie Ennis, really, don't we, Paul, on 71 minutes?
Well, at the moment, I've given it as an own goal because I think it brushed somebody's head. Maybe the Curzon media might be able to help us out with that one.
Well, it's now time to hand over to Keg, who's going to do the recap for the TV commentary.
Am I? For that one? There was eight players in the way. We'll let that one slip. Thanks.
Well, FC United, 19 minutes left. I've taken the lead here.
And
the PA announcer is asking me. Right, OK.
FC Live there from last Saturday, following that second qualifying round victory against Curzon Ashton in the FA Cup. And here's hoping for more of that on Tuesday evening. FC United hosting Alfreton Town, and like Curzon, also of the National League North. And we'll have full commentary available here on FC Radio and in visual form across the United Kingdom on FCUM.TV. That's nearly it for this week's This Club Is My Club. But just before we go, there's just enough time for one last interview, and that takes us to the women's team and an extraordinary way to kick off the league campaign on Sunday. FC United 2-1 down at Crewe Alexandra on Sunday afternoon, only to go on and win it by 3-2, with Kate O'Gara securing the victory on 87 minutes. That followed a penalty save as well, by Chloe Ainsworth into the second half as well. So a really dogged, determined effort by the women's team on Sunday. And for more on this, down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by the welcome return of women's team manager. It's Cameron Hussain. Well, Cameron, a big thank you for joining us. And an extraordinary way to kick off the league campaign. Where do you want to start? I mean, let's start with you and your take on the 90 minutes at Crewe.
Yeah. Talk about a game of two complete different halves and ups and downs. I just thought we weren't good enough in the first half. I thought we were a bit negative, and that was a bit of accountability on myself, but also the players. And we talked about it at halftime, and then we knew what we needed to do going into the second half, and what a performance it was. We were front foot attacking, constantly looking like the team that was going to score, and it showed in the last 10 minutes. But it's not a performance that I'm particularly happy with in terms of the first half, but you can't fault the players for what they gave in the second half to make amends for it too.
I was listening back to the interview we did last week, and there was a player I missed, and apologies to Chloe Ainsworth for this, because she produced two very, very important saves against Wakefield last week, which it set up the finale of the match, really, and set up the victory. And she did the same yesterday, didn't she, with that penalty save?
Oh, absolutely. And the girls were, she's an absolute hero in the group chat and in everyone's mindset today and yesterday after that, because we knew that at 2-1, you're still in the game going into halftime. And if they score a penalty and go 3-1, it's a different halftime team talk, and the mindset of players and just the morale of the team going into that half is completely different. So she kept us in the game with an absolute crucial save from that penalty, and it did change the game. I think the momentum came our way.
Let's talk about that last 10 minutes then. Obviously, last week we were missing Kirsty Chambers. A captain's performance for that goal to equalise on 80 minutes.
Yeah, and to be fair, how many times have we sat here and said that about Kirsty? She's always come good. She's always been, when you need her the most, she's always there, and she turns up, and she's always at the front, leading from the front. She might not be the most vocal all the time, but through her actions, she's always come good. And even last year when we were 2-1, she scored in the last 2-3 minutes again to make it 2-2. So Kirsty's, it's no coincidence with Kirsty.
And Kate O'Gara scoring 7 minutes later. And we mentioned Kate's performance last week in midfield with Cara Fields. She keeps getting better and better, I think. And she stepped up last season with some important goals, and clearly it's carrying on this year.
Yeah, I think Kate, well, with the first goal, it was an absolute stunner from outside the box, where she's taken it really well and taken everyone by surprise a little bit as well, that she's taken the shot so early and done it. And then we wanted her to be more positive in the second half, and she's got into the box or near around the penalty area a lot later on. And those late runs have paid dividends, where she's coming in, she's lobbed the keeper But again, no coincidence that she comes up with these final last-minute winners where she's got a positive mindset of, right, we're going to go out and get this goal rather than just sitting back and having a bit of a defeatist attitude that we're happy with the draw or we're happy to lose 2-1. We always want to win. We always want to play good football. And we always want to score as many goals. So it's just showing through the character of the group how strong we are as well.
And in a strange way, ignoring the first half performance, the second half is certainly, and the way it ended, certainly a springboard for the next game. And you could part the league now, can't you? And this away trip in the FA Cup, Norton and Stockton Ancients, this coming weekend. How much are you looking forward to getting the squad back together again for training this week after those final scenes there at Crewe?
Yeah, I think Norton will provide a different test in many ways. But at the same time, we've prepared for that in pre-season. We know it doesn't really faze us who we come up against and what league they're in. There seems to be a really good, tight-knit feeling with the squad at the moment. And the morale is certainly a lot higher with this win as well, which is always nice. But I feel like we're going into it with a lot of tricks in our sleeve and a real good variety of players, I'd say, in our squad as well. With it being the FA Cup, you can obviously have a lot more subs. You can have, I think it's up to 9 substitutions on the bench. So we have a lot of variety. We have a lot of competitiveness in the squad. And I think that's only improved the quality of training and match days as well and the focus. It's been refreshing, to be fair. And it's nice to finally get the season going. But then we've carried so much momentum through pre-season out into the start of the FA Cup and, like you said, the first league game.
Because it's such a long trip as well, imagine you're going to be on a coach together, and you don't get to do that often, do you? We're playing football in the North West Women's League. So how much are you looking forward to that and squad building, essentially? Because there are some new players in this squad as well as some players who've been there before.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice just for us all to be there and travel together and just to have a bit of a chat beforehand. Like we always try and get to matches early regardless, and we have a little bit of a chat and things like that. But it'll be nice to just have everybody together, everyone travelling at the same time, and just having a nice little team spirit before and after. And obviously, hopefully we get the win, and then it's a nice journey home as well, all together.
Women's team manager Cameron Hussein there joining us here on This Club Is My Club on Monday afternoon. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of FC United, you can visit the website fc-utd.co.uk and give FC United a follow on Twitter as well. That's FC United MCR. Just a reminder, for those of you who can't make Tuesday night's game, we will have full commentary of FC United against Alfreton Town available right here on fc-radio.co.uk, as well as in visual form on fcum.tv, just for viewers though in the United Kingdom due to broadcast restrictions. But that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to Adrian, to Neil and to Cameron for joining us on this week's show. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe week. Bye bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.